Hello, Exopolitics listeners. I'm R.V. Romero, Stellar Artistic Director of Exopolitics Radio. I'd like to thank you all for listening to our show and for taking an interest in the evolution of our planet and our species through Exopolitics Radio and the study of law and order in the universe. For over a year now, I've enjoyed working closely with your elusive host, Alfred Weber, on this fine production that we're proud to broadcast on a weekly basis and post free of charge on our website. Currently, I'm happy to say that in the last 90 days, ExopoliticsRadio.com has been visited by people in over 56 countries and 492 cities around the globe, including all 50 states in the U.S. During that time, we've averaged over 5,000 podcast downloads per show, and we're adding listeners every week with affiliates at Paranormal Radio, the Revere Radio Network, and most recently, Kansas City Online Radio. Now, I'm telling you all this to give you an update on how our show is progressing, and also to let you know that indeed, the number of intelligent people here on Earth who are catching on to the fact that there are other intelligent life forms in the universe is growing. And Exopolitics Radio is proud to be on the cutting edge of this revelation by reporting news and providing the insight and perspectives that you can't find anywhere else on the radio, in the newspapers, or on the television. We want to continue bringing you Exopolitics Radio both online and on air free of charge, as we always have, because we believe in the message and the content. However, as a studio and production team, we do have routine expenses which must be maintained in order to do so. It pains us to ask, and I promise we won't do it often, but if every listener online donated $1 a month, that would completely cover our production costs for the show and the immense amount of time spent doing research, interviews, and production time given graciously by our host. Of course, not every listener is going to be able to donate $1 or donate on a monthly basis, so if you could consider donating a little bit more, that would be a tremendous help and allow us to continue adding more and more affiliates, creating new programs, interviews, and materials, and most importantly, continue broadcasting this message of hope and truth around the globe and the universe. So whatever the outcome, I can promise you that we will continue working to bring you a unique and sincere program week in and week out, 12 months a year. So we thank you for your support of Exopolitics Radio. Please remember to go to www.exopoliticsradio.com and click on the donate menu option for more information. Thank you very much, and now back to the show.
The views expressed on Exopolitics Radio with Alfred Weber are the views of Alfred Weber and not specifically those of our on-air affiliates or our sponsors.
Welcome back. This is Exopolitics Radio, a weekly magazine format public affairs program on exopolitics, the new political science of outer space, the science of relations between our human civilization and other intelligent civilizations in the universe. Exopolitics Radio can be heard on 1480 AM KPHX Progressive Talk Phoenix and worldwide on the internet at www.exopoliticsradio.com. Our audio archives are at www.exopoliticsradio.com, and we urge you to visit them. They're free and available, open to the public 24/7 worldwide. Yesterday, we had a very appreciative letter from an Exopolitics Radio listener who has actually heard and listened to all of the Exopolitics Radio programs on the archives at www.exopoliticsradio.com at least twice. So they're making use of that resource as a cosmic resource, which I do believe it is. I'm your elusive but ever-present host, Alfred Weber. And today we have another exciting program, part one of our interview with our special guest, Canadian researcher Grant Cameron, who is the custodian, I like to say, the curator of www.presidentialufo.com, a collection of research articles and resources regarding the extraterrestrial and UFO aspects of the U.S. presidency. And Grant Cameron, you'll hear in this interview, ends up with a very special viewpoint I haven't quite heard before, but he's right. He says, look, the UFO ET issue is like any other issue. And unless people unite and express themselves politically in the body politic. And we've been advocating this in our exopolitical articles now for almost 10 years. Unless people unite politically on the ground, there is not going to be governmental action, no matter who comes in as U.S. president. It's like any other issue. Women's rights, women's suffrage, ethnic issues, racial issues, any other issues. And so in today's Exopolitics Radio commentary, which we'd like to start right now, we're going to begin addressing that issue of what will it take to get our public, which now, according to the public opinion polls, more people believe that extraterrestrials are visiting Earth than vote in a U.S. presidential election. Let me repeat that. More people in the United States believe that extraterrestrials are visiting Earth than vote in a U.S. presidential election. And according to the 2002 Roper poll, depending on how you ask the question, between 48 and 85% of the U.S. population are congruent with or okay with the extraterrestrial presence. So we're going to start now a series that will begin to go in depth into why extraterrestrial civilizations are being so persistent in trying to wake us up and trying to mobilize us so that the war economy, which is centered here in the United States, the information war against the extraterrestrial presence is centered in the United States. Many of the other countries, including Japan, which recently in the week of December 17th spoke positively about the extraterrestrials in a very peaceful way. I was there in Japan for consultations with the Future Earth Research Institute on extraterrestrials and Earth changes. And the government of Japan spontaneously erupted into positive public discourse on public policy and the extraterrestrial presence while I was there. And it's clear that this is centered in the United States, so that now we can begin to ask why. Why is this? Because it's going to start to become very clear that the fate of the planet is at stake and the fate of humanity is at stake. So if people want to continue to walk around in their little boxes and not begin to demonstrate and march and act up, remember that group when the AIDS virus, which is actually biowarfare back in the 80s when the AIDS virus first started hitting the gay community in New York, it was a group called ACT UP, and their motto was silence equals death. Well, that's the case for it right now. So let me just read here just to show you that the extraterrestrials are really trying to get our attention. Texas mile-long mothership spotted, January 10th, 2008. Okay, Stephenville, to give you a heads up on a truly amazing UFO sighting seen by me on January 8th, 2008, and hundreds of other people, including a pilot, policeman, and business owners, they saw a huge mothership with bright lights flying low and fast over the town of Stephenville, 60 miles southwest of Fort Worth, on January 8, 2008. Witnesses claimed the object was larger, quieter, faster, and closer to the ground than an aircraft. I'll say a mile, a mile wide. The object I saw was a mile long and a half a mile wide. Yeah, it was a little larger than an aircraft. It was positively, absolutely nothing from these parts. People wonder what in the world it is, because this is the Bible Belt and everyone is afraid it's the end of times. Hey, maybe the ETs are trying to signal that it is the end of times. We're running out of time. Remember that song back in the 60s? This is the end. The end, my friend. Ricky Searles, a machinist, said, a flat and seamless metallic object hovering about 300 feet over a field. He used the telescopic sights of his rifles to get a close-up view. New Year's Eve. This is New Year's Eve, 2008.
Three groups of San Diegans swear they were sober enough to report seeing strange orange-yellow lights in the sky about 30 minutes after midnight. And the National UFO Reporting Center said Tuesday it got enough, quote, similar reports from across the country to warrant follow-up investigation. In other words, there were New Year's Eve sightings in Santa Monica, San Francisco Bay, and Canada. So the extraterrestrials, assuming these are extraterrestrial sightings, and they do appear to be, are continuing to bang at our consciousness, to just slam at our consciousness. And why is that? Why might that be? Well, here on Exopolitics Radio, we're going to start today an extended Exopolitics Radio commentary. Extended because it's going to go over various sessions. And it's entitled Exopolitics, Planetary Migration, and the Human Future. Maybe they're slamming us and trying to get our attention for a very real reason. Maybe we're being held hostage on this planet by a very, very dark force. And maybe that dark force has taken root here in the United States of America, or the United Snakes of America. And maybe there is a very, very dark force that has taken root in this planet. The degree of consciousness and interaction and cooperation among human society and advanced ethical extraterrestrial civilizations will be a determining factor in a positive human future. Quote, this is quoting from UK scientist Stephen Hawking as he accepted the Copley Medal, which is a very distinguished medal, which was given to scientists such as Charles Darwin. Quote, as he accepted it in at the end of 2006. The long-term survival of the human race is at risk as long as it is confined to a single planet. Sooner or later, disasters such as an asteroid collision or nuclear war could wipe us all out. But once we spread out into space and establish independent colonies, our future should be safe. There isn't anywhere like the Earth in the solar system, so we would have to go to another star. That's UK scientist Stephen Hawking. Mankind must colonize other planets to survive, as he was accepting the Copley Medal. In the UK, at the end of November, as reported on December 1st, 2006. As the science of relations between human civilizations and other intelligent civilizations in the universe, exopolitics must accurately assess, experience, and analyze reality from the perspective of extraterrestrial civilizations themselves. Exopolitics is not solely the history of humanity's response to an extraterrestrial presence. Exopolitics tracks the nature, intentions, strategy, and agenda of the extraterrestrial civilizations that are interacting with Earth. The science develops field theories of how society, politics, government, and law functions in the larger populated universe itself. Under the exopolitics model, Earth does not exist in a jurisprudential vacuum in outer space. Rather, Earth, like all life-bearing planets, is subject to a set of highly regulated criteria under the jurisdiction of galactic or universal governance authorities. That's yours truly writing, Alfred Weber. And this brings us to the end of this first segment of our ongoing exopolitics commentary entitled Exopolitics, Planetary Migration, and the Human Future. Just what are the advanced extraterrestrial civilizations trying to signal us? Just why do they keep on slamming us with 2-mile-wide spacecraft over Phoenix, Arizona on March 13, 1997? Mile-wide spacecraft over Stephenville, Texas on January 8th. 2008, they keep on slamming us as the United Snakes of America, those snakes down there, keep their screws wildly tied down, and Hillary Clinton won't say a word about extraterrestrials And she continues, the Clinton Library continues to stonewall the issue, and none of the American press in the debates or elsewhere will ask the extraterrestrial question of Hillary Clinton, or really ask, hey, here we have U.S. airspace is being violated. I mean, you guys are totally paranoid about terrorists, and here you have mile-wide aircraft flying over Texas. Wake up! Who is going to address this conundrum? And why won't the United States tell you the truth? Come on, people, get active. Start gathering in the malls. Start gathering in front of City Hall with your signs. That's the only way we're going to get action. Start writing letters to the editor. If you'd like to get active, write us at exopolitics@exopolitics.com. Let's get organized. This has been your official Exopolitics Radio commentary. I'm your host, Alfred Weber. Please stay tuned for our interview with Grant Cameron, curator of presidentialufo.com. Thank you.
Welcome back. This is Exopolitics Radio. I'm your host, Alfred Weber, and today we're with a very special guest, Mr. Grant Cameron, who is an extraordinary researcher, and I guess what I would call him the curator at this point, of a very remarkable resource, www.presidentialufo.com, which is a repository of unique information and research regarding the extraterrestrial and UFO-related experiences of the U.S. presidents. Welcome, Grant.
Well, thanks for having me on, Alfred.
Yeah. You know, I always wanted to ask you, Grant, how was it that you got started with this unique area of research?
Well, I got started as many, I think, researchers got started, and that was that I had a sighting, and this was in 1975 in a small town called Carmen, Manitoba, and one thing led to another. I started, I did a manuscript on all the sightings there and interviewed most of the people in the town because about 60% of the people in the town had seen it. Went from there to researching the Canadian government because I ran into a witness, a radar technician, who had had a sighting there, who worked with my father, my father was a pilot for the Department of Transport, and they led me to Wilbur Smith, who worked for the Canadian Department of Transport and had headed up the Canadian government UFO program, or then it was Flying Saucer program, from 1950 to 1954, and spent a number of years researching all that, talking to witnesses and people that worked with Wilbur Smith, recovering as many documents as I could in speeches by Wilbur Smith. And that led me to one of the witnesses there was Dr. Robert Sarbacher, who had provided Wilbur Smith the material in the famous top secret memo. Wilbur Smith wrote a famous top secret memo that stated that through the Canadian Embassy in Washington, he had discovered that flying saucers exist. It's the most highly classified subject in the United States, and a small group headed by Vannevar Bush was trying to figure out what was going on. And through Stanton Friedman, Dr. Sarbacher was interviewed, confirmed that he had provided this information to Wilbur Smith in Canada. And in one interview, Stanton Friedman asked Dr. Sarbacher, who did you get this from, or how did you get involved? And Dr. Sarbacher had talked about in the early 1950s being invited to a series of briefings at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. Something had crashed on the West Coast. He really didn't know where it was, somewhere in the West. He had been invited to a series of briefings. He couldn't come, and Stanton Friedman went through a whole list of people trying to get Dr. Sarbacher to identify who he had been involved with or who was alive that was there at these briefings at Wright-Patterson. And he mentioned a fellow out of Pennsylvania, Dr. Eric Walker, who happened to have been the head of an Ivy League college, Penn State University, for 16 years. He was the president there. And so that led me to about 8 years of research going after Dr. Walker, trying to get Dr. Walker to talk, and a series of researchers from around the world, and I coordinated, and we basically got a guy who didn't want to talk about it but couldn't hang up the phone and tried to talk around the subject and gave us quite a bit of information as to what was going on and gave us a clear indication that he had been involved from the word go. This thing was for real. It had happened. There had been crash. There had been briefings, and that led me to his files. He had been the executive secretary of the Research and Development Board in 1950, which is an assistant secretary now with the Department of Defense in the States, and he had been the executive secretary there, and they were in charge of all the weapon programs, the development of the hydrogen bomb, all the different weapon programs, and he was in that department, and he had stated that his files would be left. He was negotiating with the Truman Library. And so when Dr. Walker died, I immediately went to see his files, tens of thousands of pages of files. Really didn't find much there, but did track down the Truman Library. And it was when I got to the Truman Library that I realized that there really was nothing in the Truman Library. They had a couple of little documents. And about 80 miles down the road from the Truman Library was the Eisenhower Library. So I figured I'd go to the Eisenhower Library. And there you have to actually be interviewed before you can research there. And I was interviewed. And I remember the guy telling me there was five documents in 28 million pages of material. There was five documents. One was a little telex and or telegram, these little things. And it was at that point that I said, this is the most important subject in the world, and this is the most powerful guy in the world, and it does not make any sense that the most powerful man in the world would not know anything about the most important subject. And it was at that point when I had this sort of awakening at the Truman, at the Eisenhower Library, that I decided that I better start looking around the different presidential libraries to find out where the material is, because these are the guys that should know what's going on.
Wow, quite a story. Now, Grant, what we'd like to cover in this first program with you is an update on the extraterrestrial and UFO issue in the 2008 presidential campaign, which we've been following to some extent here on Exopolitics Radio. Now, I have a first question for you, and this is breaking news, which happened just right before we maybe 10 minutes before we began recording this program, which is being pre-recorded on Tuesday, January 15th, just a few days before the air date of January 19th. And that is that we just learned that the Nevada Supreme Court has ruled that MSNBC does not have to include Dennis Kucinich in the Democratic debate tonight on January 15th. Their Nevada court had ruled that MSNBC did have to include Dennis Kucinich, who it had previously invited and then 3 days later disinvited from the Democratic debate by changing the rules. And this may seem like an odd question to you, but I know that you've been in this field for many years. And that is, do you have any sense that because Dennis Kucinich is in fact a UFO experiencer, he's had a close encounter of the third kind, or at least he's seen a UFO and has admitted such, and there have been two witnesses to that, and he's been asked that on public TV, and his being asked that has in turn prompted many of the candidates at that point to take a public position one way or other on the issue. Do you think at all that the ET or UFO issue around Dennis Kucinich is what has prompted Dennis Kucinich suddenly to be dropped by MSNBC from the debates?
Yeah, it's a good question. It may have something to do with it. I always see the debates and this sort of stuff, it's sort of like elections come down to people voting for whoever they think is going to win. And so you sort of try to get the candidates who you figure most people are going to be watching. And Kucinich, as you know, was described by Shirley MacLaine, is probably the only guy that's actually telling the truth. He's the only guy, and if you take a look at some of the stuff he says, he actually makes more sense than all of them. But because his poll numbers are so low, and because this UFO issue really sort of turned a lot of the press into mocking him, so it's a bizarre situation where you actually cut this guy from the debate when he is, in fact, you know, a lot of the debates, he's the highlight of the debate. He's the guy that actually, you know, says some stuff that you sit back and you say, well, you know, this guy's actually pretty interesting to listen to. It's hard to say what the actual thing, but I would say it's more the fact that because his number is 1 or 2%, that they basically say, let's go with the winners, let's try to get, you know, a fight between Obama and Clinton and going and try to hype the main people. So I wasn't aware of that. I was just looking and I see that now he's appealing this. So
right.
It's good that he'll keep this going, and it becomes an issue of, does somebody have a right to speak in America, or is it just a PR thing where you take the big people and let them go and the other people don't actually get to say anything? Whereas if you and I are both in Canada, and you know that the government basically finances parties to speak, and the lower parties that don't have the votes get a lot more say than you would get in the United States. In the United States, it comes down to, if you've got the numbers, then you get the majority of the publicity and everybody chases you around.
We'll be right back after the break. Please stay tuned. Thank you. Welcome back. This is Exopolitics Radio, and we are continuing with our interview. I'm your host, Alfred Weber. Thank you.
Now, this brings us to another issue, the issue of Hillary Clinton, because with Dennis Kucinich now not allowed to speak on public debates, the other person who has possibly the longest record dealing with extraterrestrial issues, and you yourself have had a role in bringing this to public light, is Hillary Clinton, who, through some documents that you've been able to bring forward, including letters from Lawrence Rockefeller to Hillary Clinton while she was First Lady in the Clinton White House and served, I think, you could fairly say, as the point person in the Clinton White House on ET and UFO issues at a fairly substantive basis. If our readers go to your website at www.presidentialufo.com, they can read some of these letters and see that they're very substantive. And yet, you've just written that in December, the Clinton Library is now stonewalling on the release of notes, telephone records, and other documents relating to UFO and ET issues from those years. Why do you think that they're doing that?
Why do I think that they're stonewalling at the library?
Yes.
Well, they have a number of exemptions. One of the problems that we're going to have, and I still see it as a positive development, because what was released to me was only about, it's not 70 pages, it's like 68 pages or something, and there was a series of pages withheld. which happens with a lot of FOIAs. One of the exemptions they are using is a very bizarre one. There's a new sort of exemption that if you're giving advice to the president, then that's exempt. And one of the documents falls under that category. I think it's called a 6A or 6A or something exemption. And so we have a situation where they have exempted these documents and actually some pictures, which is kind of bizarre, the Rockefeller, with Lawrence Rockefeller and the president, because one of the things I was trying to establish with the FOIA was whether Clinton and Rockefeller actually sat down and talked about UFOs in August of 1995, which is a story that's been everywhere and everybody's told this story. It's a matter of trying to confirm it. But the positive aspect of this whole situation at the Clinton Library is that it's not over. I have 30,000 pages under review at the Clinton Library. I started filing this FOIA when Clinton was still in office. This was back in the mid-1990s, because I had researched the majority of the presidential libraries. I know how the system works, and I know that a president has 5 years after he leaves office to work on his papers for his memoirs or whatever, and at the end of 5 years, those papers are opened up to the Freedom of Information Act, and people can request them, and the way it works is first come, first serve. That if you're first in line, you get first served, and it really doesn't matter whether it's a UFO subject or what the subject is. So I knew years and years ago, when I first started to file this Freedom of Information Act request, that this was going to be an issue. That the Clintons, we knew back in the mid 1990s that they were very interested in UFOs. That this Rockefeller initiative had taken place. We already had 1,000 pages of documents out of the Science Advisor's Office on UFOs, so we knew the names of the people, and all this was together, and I knew that this was going to be an issue as soon as these documents became public, that they would have to face all these documents coming out, and I've been given the numbers, and there are thousands of UFO documents that are about to come out. Now, even if they withhold, say, 20% of them, we're in a situation where when the first ones came out, because what happened, I was at the front of many of the queues. They have 17 different queues, different lines. Like they have one for classified material, one for audiovisual, one for simple, one for complex. And they have these different queues. I'm at the head of a lot of these queues, and because I filed early. And some of the conservative groups that are complaining that they want Hillary's files are behind me. So I still come first. And what's going to happen is, and what did happen in the original thing was that out of the first 18, 12 of them were UFOs. Out of the first 18 that were released, 12 had to do with UFOs. So I had a situation where the Washington Post talked to me for well over an hour about why these documents were coming out, all this sort of stuff. They were given the Hillary documents, and I told them that Hillary was involved, that Hillary was contacting people, and I was even involved. I was to give a lecture, and I was told that Hillary was one of the people who might be in the audience, and it was a small group of people. So I knew that Hillary was involved. I knew that this was going to be a big issue, and it turned out to be. Fox News picked it. Associated Press did a major story on this, the fact that UFO material was coming out. And even though now it's calmed down and we have not had a release of any documents from the Clinton Library since November the 2nd when they released these 12 files to me, and I'm still at the head of the queue. So what is going to happen is that as this thing goes on, even though Hillary has not been asked the UFO question, you're going to get a situation where maybe the next documents that come out are going to be UFO documents again, and the press is going to take another look, and they're going to say, why are all these UFO documents coming out of the Clinton Library? And it's a simple mechanics. It's the fact that I filed early, and I filed 100 Freedom of Information Act requests, and since it started, I've filed probably another 20, and I've kept them simple. I know how to file them. Rather than making a big, complex request that's very hard to deal with, it's a very simple request asking for one particular item so they can do it very simply, very, very quickly. And I think that we have 11 months to go before the election, and I think that you're going to see a lot more stories in major U.S. newspapers dealing with UFOs. For example, we have just the UFO file alone, I believe, is somewhere in the neighborhood of 2,500 pages when I requested material on UFOs, on flying saucers, and you sort of go through the list. Hillary and Roswell, Area 51, is like 50-some pages. So some of this stuff is going to be very revealing, and I'm sure that the media is going to pick it up, and you're going to get a lot more stories, and you may actually get Hillary being asked a question about the Rockefeller Initiative, because Fox News has the documents, they've seen the documents, they've had the documents explained to them, Associated Press has the documents, they had the documents explained to them, exactly why they're significant, Washington Post has the documents, they've been explained why they're so significant, and these people are sitting on these documents. So if you get more documents, somebody may actually go after the story, and then I think then this may be the year when UFOs is the issue. It's already taken a lot more. There's been a number of campaigns where people have tried to get the presidential campaigners to talk about UFOs, and it was because Shirley MacLaine, a famous person, talked about this sighting by Kucinich that suddenly UFOs became front and center, and you can see a lot of the hundreds of articles have been done on this in major newspapers, and they've all said, why is this stupid subject getting so much attention? But it may be just the year we've looked for disclosure, and I've always said disclosure will come when the government is under tremendous pressure or when something unforeseen happens. And this could be the unforeseen thing that you find out that Hillary, if she's still in the lead, and even though it may not look very good for her now, she's still up 14 points in California. She's up, big time, 16 points in Arkansas. She's up 20 points in Florida. She's up in 28 points in New York. These states are all coming up at the beginning of February. She is actually up a lot more than it would be indicated because most of the media is against Hillary. So if Hillary is still the main candidate after February the 5th and has the vast majority of the votes and looks like she's going to win, if the UFO documents are released, I think you could see UFOs becoming a major issue in the 2008 presidential campaign. At least we'll get Hillary to explain it, and I'm sure she has her answer ready. I'm sure she's not going to deny her involvement. She may downplay it and say, you know, Rockefeller came, we tried to help him out, it really wasn't that significant. But a lot of the newspapers will take notice, and they already have taken notice, which is something we've never seen in ufology.
Okay. Now, yeah, we have just a few minutes left in this segment, but assuming that Hillary is the nominee of the Democratic Party and that this issue is injected either before the convention or afterward into the campaign, what would be one or two or three sample questions that either the media or a questioner at a debate would ask Hillary Clinton about the extraterrestrial or UFO issue?
Definitely one would be, what was her involvement in the Rockefeller Initiative? Can she explain, this document says that she was, that both the president's science advisor and Rockefeller were both sending material to her office. She was the point person for this material. What was her role? How many documents were involved? Question along that line. The other question would be, did she try to get material on UFOs from various UFO researchers? Because I know of three, including myself. Mine was indirect, but the other two were very direct encounters with people representing Hillary. That would be one of the questions. Whether the president was briefed, does the president get a briefing on the subject? What did Bill know? Because Bill, even as of a couple months ago, has stated very interested in the subject. He's not hiding anything. He's very interested in the subject. And so those would be the ones I would be interested in. The problem with the Clintons is that they are Democrats. If you were after people like when I talked to Dick Cheney, then you're going after the briefing question. Simple. Were you briefed? What were you told? And because the briefing is the best intelligence estimate of what's going on that's given to people. But the Hillarys, it would be more their interest, their role, because this, as you know, and most UFO researchers know, the Rockefeller Initiative was a thing that went on for 3 years. And Bill and Hillary Clinton did try to get UFO disclosure. They couldn't get it, and they sort of walked away and left it at that. But both are very interested. Hillary wanted to be an astronaut. She is very interested in space. She's the only Democratic candidate that really has a space platform. If Obama gets in, the UFO issue will be moving to the bottom. That I'm pretty sure of. He's very not interested in space at all. He's more interested in things going on, poverty and this sort of stuff, which is fine. But we're ufologists. This is our issue. We believe it's important, and I think we have to push the person that we think is going to do the best job for us, and that to me would be Hillary Clinton.
Right. So did I hear that you thought that Richard Cheney did get a briefing by the government on the ET UFO issue, whereas
Absolutely. I mean, when I asked Cheney, and I asked Cheney the question, I asked him, Mr. Cheney, in all your jobs in government, have you ever been briefed on the subject of UFOs? And if so, when was it and what were you told? And this is a question that we also asked, somebody asked President Ford. But his answer to the question was, if I had been briefed on that subject, it would probably be classified and I wouldn't be talking about it. And it basically confirmed the rumor that's always been around that Dick Cheney is one of the people who is in the know. He knows what's going on. He has been briefed. He was the chief of staff for Ford. He was Secretary of Defense under Bush Sr. And Bush Sr. in the 2000 or the 1988 campaign is the guy who told Charles Huffer, yeah, I know some. Yes, I know a lot, when he was asked about UFOs.
Right. Now, some of the information that we've gotten from some of the prior guests on Exopolitics Radio, for example, contactee Jim Sparks, his testimony seems to indicate, along with other whistleblowers, that there are or may have been secret human ET liaison programs which the military intelligence branch of the U.S. government is running. Do you have any information on that score that would have been part of the briefing, for example, that Richard Cheney would have gotten?
I've worked very hard on the briefing to try to find out when briefings have occurred, and you get varying stories, like Clinton wasn't briefed, Clinton was briefed. So I've worked very hard on it. The only thing that I have been able to confirm, and that is both Bush Sr. and President Ford both confirmed that part of a briefing they were given included the Holloman Air Force Base footage. And that was a rumored story that we were after Jimmy Carter, that there's a story that Jimmy Carter had seen this film. And so both these two ex-presidents were asked, and they both confirmed that they had seen it. That film is, whether you believe it was 1964 or 1971, was a film that occurred at Holloman Air Force Base. Robert Emmenegger actually had this film in his hands for a period of time, and it is a film that it involves three UFOs, one lands, aliens come out of the craft, they're met by generals on the tarmac, they walk down the tarmac to a building at the end of the runway. This is a film that has been rumored to be part of the briefing that presidents are given. And both Bush Sr. and Ford confirmed that they had seen this film. That's all I've been able to confirm. I've seen the rumors, I've seen the stories, and I've worked very hard. I know the whole story about Eisenhower meeting with the aliens at Edwards Air Force Base. I was able to confirm everything except for that part, the whole part that he disappeared. There's absolutely no doubt that he disappeared, that he was there, he disappeared overnight, this sort of stuff. But these stories are very hard to confirm, because right from the word go, as recent research has indicated, the president has known right from the word go that this was a subject that had to be handled very carefully. And maybe in the next segment or in this segment, I can tell you two very interesting stories that confirm that the president knew right from the word go that this was something that was not going to go on the record, and this was going to be top secret, and nobody would know about it. And the one incident was an incident that we actually have confirmed. When the latest Roswell book came out from Don Schmidt and Kerry, one of the stories that's always been rumored around in the Roswell crash was there was a bunch of witnesses. One was the provost marshal, the security guy at the crash site, had told his daughter that he could not talk about the crash because he'd been sworn to secrecy by the President of the United States. And there was another witness that did. So when the Roswell book came out, they mentioned this in this latest Roswell book. And I contacted the authors and I said, I'm very interested. I've got access to a lot of presidential files. And who did these people? The president, we checked, the president was in Roswell. And so there was no indication that these people had been in Washington. So how did the president swear these people to secrecy? And Tom Kerry wrote me back and said there was a Secret Service agent working on behalf of the President of the United States who was at the Roswell crash. And this is something that has never been released. And so I said, give me the names. And they gave me two names. The one name, absolutely, his name is Gerald McCann, and it's spelled with two N's. It's a very weird name. Gerald McCann, witnesses in Roswell said that he was in Roswell swearing people to secrecy on behalf of the President of the United States. There was a Gerald McCann who was a Secret Service agent for the President of the United States, for Truman. That indicates right from the word, the Roswell crash, that the president was moving to quieten the story, to keep it secret, and that it would never become part of public record. The second thing that was absolutely been confirmed, and that is the story of General Landry, who was the air advisor to President Truman, who had had a number of sightings. He had been with the 8th Air Force in Hawaii, had seen a bunch of UFOs on radar during the Second World War, and had become, in 1948, the air advisor to President Truman. And he states in an oral history at the presidential library that he was brought in to Truman's office, and that Truman asked him to give him briefings every 3 months on UFOs. He was to work with the CIA to gather all the material and to come to Truman. But the briefings were done orally. They were not done in writing. So if this was weather balloons and all this kind of stuff, it would have been done in writing. Every single briefings was done orally, which confirms that the president, President Truman, knew that this thing had to stay on an oral basis. There could be no documents that could leak out. This thing was covered up from the word go.
Right. You know, I'm going to jump in here just because we've run out of time on this extremely interesting program, but we're going to ask you back for next week, Grant. We bring with Grant Cameron, the curator, I like to call him, of www.presidentialufo.com. This is Exopolitics Radio. I'm your host, Alfred Weber. Please stay tuned. Thank you.
Exopolitics Radio with Alfred Weber.
This is Exopolitics Radio. Welcome back. Well, I think that we've begun to turn a corner here at Exopolitics Radio, and here in 2008, things are now getting serious on all fronts. Crunch time has begun on all fronts and on all dimensions. If one sits down in quiet time and truly ponder the issue of why extraterrestrial civilizations since 1947-48, that's 60 years now, have been steadily knock, knock, knocking at humanity's gate, trying to get our attention despite the shooting war by the U.S. Space Command and the U.S. government that goes back 60 years, and they keep on trying. What is their larger mission? What is their larger mission? And we're going to be bringing you exclusive scientific coverage of a breakthrough reporting here on Exopolitics Radio on Exopolitics, planetary migration, and the human future. Exopolitics Radio is produced by Phoenix Productions in conjunction with 1480 KPHX Progressive Talk Phoenix. Executive producer Richard Romero Sr., director R.V. Romero, producer and editor Chris Romero. I'm your host, Alfred Weber, wishing you a wonderful, miracle-filled, and exopolitically active day, week, and life. Thank you.